You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Well, with all that happened yesterday, it seemed like the country had for one day forgotten we are still in a pandemic. The arrival of vaccines at the end of 2020 brought hope that there would be a light at the end of this long COVID-19 tunnel. Still, this week, cases around the country and the state continue to surge, and the vaccine rollout has been much slower than expected. Nationally, the U.S. was supposed to have vaccinated 20 million people by now, but instead only 5 or so million have gotten theirs. California isn't doing much better than the rest of the country. The state has only used about a quarter or so of its available shots. KALW's health reporter Angela Johnston joins me now to explain why and what Californians can expect next. Hey, Angela.
Hi.
Okay, so California hasn't even delivered a quarter of their shots. Tell us why this rollout has been so slow.
A lot of it has to do with resources. It's not because we can't make the vaccine fast enough. It's that we haven't set up the appropriate staffing and facilities and infrastructure to deliver it. So here to shed more light on that is Dr. Bob Wachter.
So far, the bottleneck has been the ability to traverse the last mile to kind of get them out into people's arms.
He's the chair of the UCSF Department of Medicine, and he tweets out these COVID chronicles every week detailing what's happening in the region, and I found them really useful. Anyway, Dr. Wachter says this slow pace is unacceptable.
We've been approaching this a little too leisurely. You know, it should be places are open as close to 24/7 as we could muster, and we're not doing that.
Okay, so Angela, what can be done about it?
One thing is just recruiting more people to give the shots. We're in the middle of a surge, so the people who would be giving the shots are overloaded dealing with cases on the front line. So we need to find others who can administer them. My roommate is an EMT, and he said he just got an email asking if he could step up and deliver vaccinations. Dentists mm-hmm. are being asked to step up, and I've heard veterinarians ask if they could volunteer too. Another solution, like Dr. Wachter says, is doing it 24/7 instead of only 8 or 12 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah, and if you can't fit that many people inside a clinic right now, why not just open up arenas or football stadiums or really large places?
Okay, so these are all great suggestions, but what is really happening? What's the reality?
Well, one thing we can point to is the National Coronavirus Relief Package that just passed, along with your $600 stimulus check, is about $8 billion of funding for vaccine distribution. And that money would go to local health departments to help with the rollout. So that should help. And Wachter thinks that a new Biden administration will also probably help. One of the reasons for the slow pace is that there's no cohesive national plan.
And there's this other thing I've been hearing about delaying the second dose of the vaccine to get more people vaccinated. So can you tell us more about that idea?
Yeah, both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are more than 90% effective once people have taken two doses, the second one about 3 to 4 weeks after the first. But the data also shows that these vaccines were still over 50% effective with only the first shot. Some data shows 80 to 90%. And so the argument for delaying the second shot is basically just a numbers game. Get more people vaccinated and prevent more deaths. And folks would eventually get their second shot just a little bit later than before.
Okay.
It's something Dr. Wachter advocated for in a recent op-ed in the Washington Post. And it's something other countries are already doing, like Great Britain, where the virus has mutated and it's out of control.
Okay, but what are the cons?
Yeah, experts aren't 100% sure how long immunity with only one shot will last. And the long time period between shots could mean that it'll be harder to get folks to come in for the second one. But one of the biggest arguments against it is that switching up the distribution at the last second could erode public trust. Mm-hmm. The messaging around masks was inconsistent, same with whether you should clean your mail or your groceries. So this week, the FDA said that we should stick with the approved two-dose regimen for now.
Okay, Angela, so assuming vaccine distribution does speed up and we do vaccinate all the healthcare and frontline workers in the first group, so what's next? Who's next? When can other people expect their vaccine?
Well, this is also a messy area. First, some quick background. States are determining the priority of who gets vaccinated first. And in California, the Department of Public Health has developed phases and tiers.
Okay, more tiers.
Oh, yes. And the first phase is divided into three categories, A, B, and C. First up, healthcare workers and residents of long-term nursing home and care facilities, they're already getting vaccinated right now.
Okay. And then what about 1B and 1C?
Yeah, 1B has two sub-tiers, which can be confusing. Basically, it's older adults, first 75 and up, and then 65 and up, all people with underlying conditions, people who are unhoused or incarcerated, as well as certain types of essential workers, like people in the educational sector or food and agriculture. But a lot of people fit into these categories, way more,
right.
Yeah, way more than the first healthcare worker group. And there are issues of equity within these groups that have to be taken into consideration.
And that's a lot. So how is the state working through it?
There's a community advisory board with doctors and community members and lawyers and equity advocates. And they meet every Wednesday to discuss the ethical and equitable way to roll out the vaccine. It's led by Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, California's Surgeon General.
And we'll put a link to those meetings at kalw.org.
Yeah, they're definitely really informative. And what I learned from watching yesterday's is that a lot is up to local jurisdictions to make some judgment calls and resource allocation based on these guidelines. It'll be challenging to get the message out, like when a county has moved from one tier to the next, or like some jobs have really obscure titles. What if they're not classified on the state list? Or there's non-traditional workers like promotoras or community health workers that may not be affiliated with a hospital. Or
right.
a truck driver who works in food and ag, or a bus driver who does school buses. Which sector do they fall in, education or transportation?
That's a lot to think about and a lot to unpack, lots of groups and people to be thinking about. And it all sounds like there will be a lot to pay attention to.
Yeah, and when I talked to Dr. Bob Wachter about this, he said a fair distribution order could work in a vacuum, but truly upholding equity will be really, really difficult.
But in the real world, no one has told me convincingly how the man or woman clerk at Walgreens is going to figure out whether you're a garbage collector or a preschool teacher or a grocery store clerk? Is that going to be a letter that you have from HR? Is that going to be the honor system?
Ooh, Angela, I mean, he's right.
Yeah. And
these are tough questions.
Yeah. And also, how do you make sure people with privilege don't try to take advantage of the system?
Who wins when the system is massively complicated? It's going to be people with privilege. It's going to be the person that, you know, is pals with their doctor and give him, you know, him or her a call and say, can you give me a note? You know, that'll get me first online, or, you know, or a cheater. I mean, I know I heard business executives saying maybe I'll become an Uber driver for a couple of days so I can get my vaccine. I mean, all of that stuff is going to happen.
Okay, so Angela, this can get messy. Lots of stuff to think about. What is he proposing?
Well, he wrote an op-ed about it in the New York Times today, and he thinks we should vaccinate everyone over a certain age, say 60 or 65, and then the rest, he thinks should be a lottery, which is a controversial opinion, but he thinks it's kind of the only way we can really do it fairly.
A lottery. Okay. Well, Angela, anything else we should be paying attention to?
Well, I guess there's one more piece of bad news.
What?
Well, there's yet another strain of the virus detected in South Africa, and this one seems to alter the shape of the spike protein that, unlike the other mutation, could potentially make the vaccine less effective. Scientists and doctors like Wachter are following this one closely, and we'll know more soon. But the good news is that now that we understand it, tweaking the vaccine should be easier and quicker.
Okay, and you'll be following, and we'll be having you on. Thank you, Angela.
Thanks, Hannah.
Angela Johnston is KALW's health reporter. For more coronavirus coverage, go to kalw.org/coronavirus.